All right, then I would say I'll go ahead and do an intro. We'll be good to go. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning into the BAMF podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and today we are doing a quick demo session of Base Raiders, and Mr. Ross Payton, the author of Base Raiders, is here with us. How are you doing, Russ?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Base Raiders is currently on the bundle of holding Fate Plus 2, so if you're interested in this game, check out the bundle.
But and just in case someone's curious, how would you get the bundle of holding?
It is the bundleofholding.com. Just go there, and we're Base Raiders in the bonus level. You have to pay more than the average, which is going up. But yeah, you get not only Base Raiders, you get 10 other games, including Iron Day After Ragnarok, Iron Edda, the Ministry Initiative, and Jade Punk, and more.
And
so,
if I recall correctly, this benefits a couple of great charities, including the EFF.
And the International Justice Mission, which is not a group of superheroes, believe it or not. It is actually a charity for legal aid for people around the world who need it. So.
It's a group of lawyers, so it's not superheroes. But the game's for great cause, so check it out. And we have Mr. Aid Smith, our regular co-host, here.
Hello.
Hey. And RPG legend, Chuck Rice.
Hi.
Hey, Chuck.
Hi. Great to be running a game for you guys. Yeah. So in Base Raiders is a Fate-based superhero game, but to give you a little background on Base Raiders itself, the basic premise is that it's imagine a superhero world, or a world with superheroes and villains going about fighting crime or committing crime and whatnot, and then one day all of them disappear, but they leave behind their stuff. And of course all their stuff is inside their lairs, fortresses of solitude, caves that are bat-themed, you know, their bases, in other words. And people start finding them. Normal people start finding them. They find their power armor, their super soldier drugs, their books of magic, their what have you, any things that give them superpowers. And so people like realize, hey, this is really profitable. Hey, I want to get superpowers. So they start looking for bases and then breaking into them, hence Base Raiders. So it's sort of mashing up dungeon crawling and the superhero genre. So there's a new generation of heroes and villains out there, but these are people who choose to give themselves power by either finding them and stealing them or buying them off the black market, because a lot of Base Raiders just want to make a buck. And so they break into the cave filled with bats, steal the trophies, and sell it on eBay, basically. And so that's where the world is right now. In terms of the rules, the mechanics, we use a version called Strange Fate, which first came from the Kerberos Club. The system was designed by Mike Olson, who has more recently designed the Atomic Robo RPG. But it is a Fate RPG, which means anytime you roll a skill or anything, you roll 4 Fate dice, which have 2 pluses, 2 minuses, and 2 blank spots on them. You add up the pluses, subtract the minuses, and so you get a number from -4 to +4. And then you add any relevant skill and modifiers to it, and then if you hit a certain target number, usually 1 if it's unopposed, or beat your opponents if it's an opposed roll, then you know you win, otherwise you fail. If you look at the character sheets, you're all playing normal people right now, people who have yet to get superpowers, because one of the conceits in Base Raiders is, hey, let's give ourselves superpowers. So there are rules to give yourself superpowers in the middle of a game. So if you look at it, you'll see that you have your name and then your aspects. Aspects are another big part of Fate. They are a short little phrase that describes something about your character, like your archetype. You don't have one yet because you don't have any superpowers. Archetype would be like mutant or sorcerer or, that kind of thing. And then conviction, but your background would be something about your character's past. Your conviction would be something you believe in. And then other aspects would be something that describes what your character does or who they are. If you look down, you'll have a number of skills, and they'll be rated from +1 to +4. And anytime you roll that skill, you'll add that to your 4 fate dice. And then you have some tier benefits. Everyone starts out with 3 points of health, composure, and reputation. Those are your physical, mental, and social health, basically, for those types of conflict. But if you have a tier benefit like +2 health, you actually have 5 points of health. And then at the bottom of your first page of your screen, you'll have base refresh, and that's how many fate points you start with each session. So in this game, you will have, like, if your base refresh is 6, you will start with 6 fate points. So fate points are used to give yourself bonuses or give yourself some sort of advantage in a scene. And you gain them by putting yourself at some sort of disadvantage. So you can invoke aspects to give yourself an advantage, and you can compel aspects to give yourself a disadvantage and a fate point. So is everybody with me so far?
That sounds okay.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm not going too fast. So if you look at your, for example, one of the characters I know is going to be Abby Hess, the alternate Earth refugees, because like any good comic book universe, it's a multiverse, there's plenty of parallel Earths, and so sooner or later someone would crawl in from a world that was overrun by zombies or something. And so they're a refugee. And
the Earth is the worst.
It is the worst. And one of Abby's aspects is Flood Doomed Earth. So that's a good aspect. So you could, for example, spend a fate point and invoke that aspect when you're in a fight with a zombie. For example, like I know how to kill zombies. I fled the Doomed Earth. I had to, you know, mow through a horde of them. So you spend your fate point and then you get a +2 to that roll.
Okay.
Now, on the other hand, you can compel that aspect saying Flood Doomed Earth. Like, oh, the building's on fire. Okay, well, my character has, you know, freaked out before. This reminds me, oh god, this Earth is going up too. Ah! So I'm going to freak out and just run away and not do anything useful for this scene. So I'll get a fate point by compelling that aspect. So there's kind of a fate point economy. You can also use fate points to not only give yourself bonuses to rolls, like if it's a background or conviction aspect, you can use it to make a re-roll. So if you roll a -4, you could spend that fate point to re-roll entirely. You could also use it to make a declaration like, I fled a doomed earth. I'm a paranoid prepper. I would have pepper spray and 50 feet of rope in my purse. You know, like what person wouldn't have a paramedic kit in my purse? So you spend a fate point to have that kind of advantage. So it has to be something within your character.
Just on there, the base refresh value, that's our starting number of fate points.
Yes. That is your starting. Now you notice, like some characters might subtract points, because basically the way superpowers work is you most characters will start between 6 to 8 refresh, and then they can permanently lose those points to gain superpowers or strange skills. But your characters don't have those yet. Now if you look at your skills, they should be pretty self-explanatory. Does anybody have any questions about any particular skill names, about what they would do?
Let's see. I'm an actor. My skills are contacting, art, presence, deceit, empathy, imitation, resolve, unarmed, and melee are all just average +1 weapons and
effects. Yeah.
So.
Resolve is like willpower. Contacting is obviously your social network and that kind of thing. So, and you also have one skill point left, because again, one thing, there is one mechanic in the game to gain superpowers, and like superpowers cause skill points and refresh. So you can get a superpower, but if you don't have enough skill points and refresh to pay for it, your character gets something called burn, which means you have like side effects until you can like balance your character sheet out. Basically, you'll like it'll be an untrained power, and it'll backfire at unexpected times, or your character is taking permanently loses a point of health until they, you know, get themselves in balance because the super soldier drugs have side effects or something like that. A super soldier drug has side effects. So,
all right, cool.
That's pretty much the basic concept for it. There's also consequences. Your character can take one minor, one moderate, and one severe consequence. Those are aspects you take. Like if you take damage, like health damage, like you get shot. Normally, if you take 3 points of damage and your character is 3 points of health, then you would lose all of it, and you would basically be out of that scene. You'd lose that fight. And your character might be dead. He might be knocked out. You know, we determined exactly what happens later. But if you want to keep going, you'd be like, no, I'll take a minor consequence, and I'll say a shoulder hit. So like that bullet lodges in his shoulder, so he can't use his arm very well. So but that 3 points of damage becomes 1 point, because if you look on your sheet, consequence minor, -2 stress. So 3 becomes 1, And your character can keep going, but he has a bullet lodged in his shoulder, and he'll have to get that treated before he can remove that consequence. So, and obviously the moderate and severe ones have to be more moderate and severe, more damaging for that kind of thing. So, does that make sense? Everybody clear on that? So there's a way for your character to keep going, but they're just kind of more wounded or limping around or,
cut off and they have to, yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. Arm cut off would definitely be a severe consequence. That would be, you probably don't want to use that unless you're, you know, on your last leg or you're taking a hit from a plasma cannon or something.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so we'll be running an abbreviated version of Transit, which is also an origin story game. There are rules for that on the Base Raiders website. And so in this scenario, you're all normal people. And you all live in New York City. Yeah, you're either visiting, you live there, you work there. And
Ross, if I can interrupt you for just 1 second, Walt Rebellier just joined us.
Okay.
Hey, Walt.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Glad you can make it, Walt.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So we just got a brief introduction to Fate, and now Ross is giving us the setup for this session of Base Raiders. You good to go?
Oh yes, sir. Yep. Let's roll this dog.
Okay.
All right. So, 5 minutes ago, all your characters were in the subway. You know, on their way to home or work, just minding their own business in the subway car, like they do every day. But there was this young teenager in an army surplus jacket who had a large backpack he had crammed something way too big for that backpack. It was something metallic. You remember that. But at the subway stop, you're not sure exactly what happened. Someone got in. The teenager looked nervous, so he moved to the other side of the car. And then as the subway went down, this person who was wearing a hoodie, you couldn't make out who they were, reached for the teenager, or his backpack specifically. The teenager yelled, he grabbed for the metallic object in there, and then there was a white flash of light. And that's all you remember until the four of you wake up looking at each other. You're in a bare metal room. There's an open door, and it looks like you're in like some sort of military base, some sort of high-tech bunker. It looks like something out of a movie or a documentary you've seen about superheroes and villains. Like, they've been gone for a year now, but you know what those kind of structures would look like, you know, from documentaries or news shows about those. So you don't know what's going on, and so you're kind of disoriented. You hear sounds of, like, machinery, like the humming of a generator or something coming from the next room. It's kind of dim in here. And typing on a keyboard. So the four of you look at each other. So why don't you introduce your characters? And we'll just go, I guess, in with Aid first, and what your character looks like, who they are, and what your first actions are.
Okay, so my character is Abby Hess. She is a alternate Earth refugee, and she's been masquerading as a waitress on this Earth to try and establish herself in the actual places and hide. So at this moment, she is obviously used to several stressful situations on her past Earth. So straight away, she's going to start looking for a way out of this place, because the last thing she wants to do is to be stuck in another room yet again.
All right, fair enough. Next up, Walt.
Hey guys, I'm Jack. And as I'm hitting my cell phone frequently, because, you know, that always works with technology, trying to get a signal, I'm so going to be late for the office.
All right, office worker, messing with his phone. Mike?
I'm Roland Primo. I'm a struggling actor who escaped from the Deep South to come to New York and make his fortune here as an actor. I was on my way to a TV commercial for Coffee Creamer. Nice. I'd really got,
oh, his big break.
Yeah, I was in character, goddammit. so I'm a little flustered and frustrated by this, but yeah.
Okay. And finally, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Can't talk. My name's Valerie. I'm taking pictures of everything for my Tumblr. Subscribe to my Tumblr. My Tumblr is awesome.
Okay.
I have the best Tumblr and the best GoGo 13 body pillow, by the way.
All right. So
body pillow. Trigger warning. Trigger warning.
So the three of you. Abby sees a doorway leading out. So she heads towards the sounds just immediately. She just gets up and walks. It's fine. No big deal. The rest of the three of you are still, like, trying to figure out what's going on. Let's see here. The otaku can give me a technology check, which is, you have it at plus one.
So I'm rolling now, one die?
You're rolling fudge dice, which are 4DF. So if you want, I can roll for you, or you can let's see here. Where's the chat thing? There's the chat thing. New York City. So there's one online dice roll. If you type in fate dice roller on Google, you can find it. They're just D6s with two pluses, two minuses, and two blank spots. And so
yeah, okay, so I'm rolling one.
Yeah, you're rolling the four dice and then adding one to it. So did you click on the dice roller?
Yeah.
Okay. What did it come up with? It does show you the symbols on it. Like,
yeah, I've got plus one good, right? So I'm rolling that.
Yeah, you're rolling plus one. You're rolling the four fudge dice and adding plus one to it. Yeah.
It said plus one good.
Okay, so you rolled plus one. What does it tell you? Which dice roller are you using? Are you using Ethan Fudge Dice at AppSpot.com?
No, it's like fudge.uvation.org.
Okay. Let's take a look. Plus one is plus one. So
I got a zero, plus one, and a minus.
Okay. So you actually get two because you add your skill to it, your skill bonus as well, which is on your character sheet because it's technology.
Okay.
You see that? You have it at average plus one.
Yes.
So you're adding your skill bonus to that. So you get a plus two. So you look around. Valerie actually recognizes what this base is. It is a base built with Build-A-Base technology, which was developed by The Ideal, a group of superheroes who were basically like the Justice League or the Avengers. They protected the world from, you know, alien invasions and whatnot. And they had a bunch of super scientists on staff. And so they used their knowledge of alien technology and super science to build a prefabricated solution to building bases. You basically design the base you want with a little tablet, and then you push a button, and then the alien, this giant machine, would just come to life and start building the base for you, just converting any matter into the metal walls and corridors you would need for it. So it was nanofabrication technology that even a brain-damaged Street Fighter vigilante could use. The thing is, supervillains got a hold of it, and so supervillains started using Build-A-Base technology too. So this is the most common style of base people find in the base raiding world, but this means you're in a villain or a hero's base in New York. You don't know where it is. You also realize you must have been teleported somewhere. The white flash of light, clear sign of teleportation. Also that you're no longer where you used to be. Obviously, but with those two clues, as subtle as they were, they are let you know that you've been teleported. So that's what you figure out taking photos around. So Abby goes into the next room, and she can see the teenager is there. His backpack is gone, but he's at some sort of computer terminal, frantically typing away, muttering to himself. And aside from him, the room itself is massive. It's like the size of an airplane hangar. But there are all these walls set up in the middle of it, these corridors that actually looks like a half-built building, like a construction site. But they're kind of like metal and moved around. Abby sort of remembers military training centers that have those things that kind of like train, like SWAT teams use to go on to learn close quarters combat. It kind of reminds her of that. But the teenager doesn't seem to notice Abby. So, Jack, you can't get any reception on your cell phone. It is quite blocked. So no matter what you're going to do, you're not going to be able to fix it. You're clearly too far down or too far up or somewhere. You're not really sure where you are. That's kind of weird. And then finally, yeah, the actor, you're pretty flustered. I'll start with you, the actor, Roland. What are you going to do? You saw Abby, one of the other people leave. Are you going to follow after him? Are you going to search the room more carefully, that you're in, or talk to the other people?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think I'll do a quick scan of the room, although I don't think I have any skills that are going to help me do that.
You can always roll, like, if you have alertness, that's the basic looking around stuff. Let me look at your sheet. Yeah. You don't have alertness.
I tell you what, since that's not going to work, so Abby left the room, went into the other room, and, yeah. I'm here with these other three folks.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and follow Abby, see what's going on there.
All right. You go there. You see what, as I describe. Mm-hmm. Are the other two of you following, or are you going to be doing anything else in this room?
I'm gonna make a beeline for that kid.
Okay. You want to speak to the manager, probably. Obviously, that kid is responsible for this. And Valerie, the otaku, what are you going to be doing?
I'm turning my phone on a video record, and I'm following Abby because she's obviously a more heroic person.
Okay.
Hopefully a villain, though, honestly. But heroes are boring. Everyone knows that. Stupid.
But wherever there's heroes, villains show up nearby.
Yeah, but
you
just
know.
Look around. We're surrounded by drab hallways. Only a hero would live here.
That's true. So the four of you get into the room. The teenager is engrossed with his terminal. Abby, you were in the room first. Are you going to let him look around, try and sneak around him? Or you can't see any other exits from where you are, but there's that big half-built building or whatever it is blocking your view. So there might be a door on the other side of it. You can walk around. So basically, like, there's one little platform where the terminal is. Then there's the massive half fake building or whatever it is, and then you can just empty space all around it.
Okay, can I actually get to him from where I'm standing, or would it be kind of a long, convoluted route to actually get to him?
Oh no, you're right behind him. The platform's right by the door. He's just so engrossed in the terminal he didn't hear you, even though you weren't sneaking. He's just like type. So yeah, you can get to him if you want to.
Cool. Okay. I'll wander up to him. And as quiet as possible, and I'll grab him on the back of the head and kind of dunk it against the desk he's typing on, and say, "Hey, kid, what's going on?"
All right. Well, that will be a stealth check.
Okay.
You will need, I'll just say, a plus one. So, are you using one of the dice rollers? Okay, you have a plus three bonus already, so as long as you don't roll a -4, you should be able to get it.
Okay. So I'm using a dice roller that says. Okay. Oh, that's great. Okay. Plus a zero, negative. So that's minus one. So theoretically, that is a two.
That is a two, which is enough to beat his base alertness of plus one, because he's not really listening for danger. So as long as you didn't trip, you were fine.
Okay.
So you get up on
too much force. I'm not just enough to get his attention.
Okay, you do have intimidation as a skill as well. So give me an intimidation check.
Okay, that would be plus two, and I roll a two on the dice as well. So.
All right. So you grab him. You bash him on the head lightly, or like you slam his head, not super forcefully, but enough to like disorient him. And he's 100 pounds soaking wet. He is a rail thin, geeky looking guy. And he's just like, what? Ah, oh God, you're awake. Ah, oh, please don't with the hitting. No. Look, hi, please. I thought you guys were knocked out by that. You're fine. Ha, great. So he is very intimidated by you. So the other three of you see this happen, so you guys can all talk to him or to each other.
All right, listen, yeah. I have a staff meeting and some TPS reports to get to. So, kid, you better start. You got some explaining to do, okay? Like, you know, serious explaining.
Oh, Oh yeah, no. Look, I'm sorry that this happened. Look, my name is Edgecutter. I'm a base raider. You guys have heard of those, right? On the news? Yeah. Well, this jerk who calls himself Raptor, who was, I mean, a totally dumb name for a base raider. I think his real name is Steve. But anyways, he's another base raider. But I found a thing in a base, and I was going to sell it or use it. I wasn't really sure. But Raptor's like, hey, I'll just take that from you because I'm a big jerk. And so he grabbed at it, and it teleported us here. And because I think it was a homing beacon for the Dark Mask. And so we're in his base now, so I'm trying to figure a way to get out of this base. I think we're still in New York City. It was a short-range teleportation. So I'm trying to hack open the door, but it looks like Raptor's somewhere else in the base. If we can find the beacon, maybe we can get it in there, or maybe we can lure him there with the promise of more goods. Yeah, I think so. That's what happened. But I think what we're in the training center for his henchmen. Dark Mask was a villain, I think. And so I kind of hacked it to where I can make you guys basically honorary henchmen. And if you pass his little test, you'll be given security credentials or a pass card so you can get into the rest of the base. But it'll take me hours to hack it otherwise to totally break it down. So you could do his training thing, which is in that fake building thing over there. I'm not sure what it is. That would, yeah.
Do we get jumpsuits?
Oh yeah, probably. Here, let me look. Inventory. Yeah. There's actually, yeah. Oh wow, jumpsuits for free. And masks. And then, oh, there's a couple of categories. Let's see here. There are weapons. There are gadgets. There are magic potions. Really? Did he have that? Super soldier drugs and other. Well, that's kind of odd. Yeah, I think if you're honorary henchman, you get one each. So what do you want? You all get the jumpsuits, though. Those are free. But I think maybe this is a test to see how well you adapt to fighting, doing super villainy type stuff. I don't know. So, yeah, what do you guys want
to
do?
Well, do we have a working internet signal to get out of here? Maybe contact the authorities, you know, get us out?
Not here, he taps it. There is, if we can get past the door... If you can pass the test, you'll get security access to... There is a comm center. There's also a jail, a med bay, a lab, an armory, and then the command center. And then there's an exit, too. So we'll come up somewhere in New York City. But there's a comm room down the hall. And besides, we don't want to call the police. This place is worth a lot of money, guys. Look, I don't know what kind of job you have in the requiring office and meetings, but this is totally much better. Like, this stuff... Even this stuff, like those jumpsuits are probably worth money to one of those crazed, supervillain-obsessed nerds. Like, oh, man, those people are pathetic, let me tell you. So,
hey!
What? No, present company excluded. In fact, Valerie, you've heard the name Dark Mask, so you can give me an academics check. Or let me look. Actually, give me investigation. That'll work better.
Okay.
So you have investigation at plus three?
So I have minus one, but so, then I add three to that, so I'm at plus yes. two.
All right, plus two, you've heard of Dark Mask. He was a notorious crime boss in New York City who was known for dealings in weapons of mass destruction to other supervillains. So he liked high-tech stuff, but he collected quite a bit of stuff as well. So he'd have a sizable arsenal of all kinds of nifty things.
Guys, there
as
might
well
be
as...
wrist rockets in here.
Yeah, there could be all kinds of cool stuff. So
we had to make a choice about some kind of gear before we did the test, or do the test first, mm-hmm. then decide?
Yeah, you can. Well, you can try the test, whatever. But you as honorary henchman, it says you're allowed your one credit, and the categories are weapons, gadgets, magic potions. Okay, you're taking a magic potion. Dunk.
All right.
What about the rest of you?
Are there any guns?
Weapons. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to hit the magic vending machine and. Come out with, like, you know, a rubber mallet or you know, something weird like they have on a TV.
Boxing glove arrow.
Well, they don't. Well, maybe this is part of the test too, to see how well you can adapt with unusual things.
Oh crap! Fine, give me a weapon.
All right. So you get. All right. So you're taking a weapon. So you get a magic potion. It says on there. It has a picture of just a big muscle dude, like just flexing. So, are you going to drink the potion?
Yep.
All right. It tastes absolutely terrible. It tastes like hairy poop water. But you should give me a resolve check as your body starts freaking out. And you start freaking out as your skin starts stretching. It's just a really painful feeling.
Could you roll that for me?
Sure. You have resolve at plus one. Mm-hmm. So I will roll. Oh, well, let's see here. And you get a negative, a blank, and two pluses, which equals a plus one. So average resolve of plus one equals two. So you don't take any stress composure damage as your body, as you realize you're just lithe actorly frame has been replaced with a terrible bodybuilder's hulking, swollen, distorted, Schwarzenegger-esque form. You gain a superpower. Basically, you have imbibed a potion of strength, which gives you, incredible strength. Let's see here. So I will say this is at the superhuman. We'll go into the thing right now. So you have one skill point left that you can put into it. You basically, if you have the Base Raiders books, it'll be at page 146, but I will say it's at superhuman tier instead of godlike. You have, a lot of strength. So I'll just kind of keep most of the rules in my head so we don't slow down the demo with too much explaining of the rules of how you gain superpowers. But the main thing right now is it is an untrained power and an unbalanced power. So you don't know how your muscles work. You don't know how strong you are, so you could accidentally break something. And also, your body is still in basic chaos as it has rapidly changed. So you could freak out, or it could react unpredictably at certain times. But whenever you make a roll using your super strength, you roll it just at a plus zero because you do not know how your muscles work yet. You do not know how to use your strength to its best effect. But you can pick up incredibly heavy things. You can punch really well. You're very, very strong. Also, you're very, very tough, too. That's what you think. Let's see here. Walt, the office worker, Jack, gains a... it says, it's a big sci-fi-looking cannon, a two-handed rifle kind of weapon, and it says on the side, plasma cannon. So you're guessing it's a plasma cannon, which looks really cool. So let me look. What is the office workers? Sorry, I'm looking at your. You have shooting at plus one, so I will say you can use that to shoot with the plasma cannon. However, you're not. I will still say it is an untrained power, so you may. You have the untrained power aspect with that as well. So. You may accidentally, I may compel that. I'll give you a fate point when that happens, but it may misfire. You may have the safety on at certain times, whenever it's dramatically appropriate.
But I could also, spend a fate point, right? To, if you try and compel, I can spend a fate point to ignore the compel, right?
Yes. Okay. You sure can. So, all right. So there's two choices left. So Valerie, are you going to, make a choice about what you want?
Gadget.
All right. Let's see here. So the gadget. What would be a good gadget for
I'm
you?
I'm also. I'm recording. Mike's character.
Okay.
And I'm saying, who knows where this freakish transformation will end?
Sorry.
Will he become more monster than man? Stay tuned.
I will say you get rocket boots. The pair of boots shows up, and they are They're clearly, you recognize them right off the bat. They're rocket boots. The Ideal manufactured hundreds of pairs of rocket boots for the team members. And let me look at your sheet. Let's see here. Otaku. Four skill points left. You actually can pay for it. You actually already know how these work. So you have four skill points. So you can have rocket boots at +3. So you can use that to dodge attacks. You have a flight ceiling of 100 meters. And you can only use dodge while you're actually flying. But you can fly really fast and dodge attacks and, you know, do all those other cool, fun things with your awesome pair of rocket boots.
Sweet.
Let's see. Who was left? The Abbey.
Yeah.
Did you want to make a choice?
What were the choices? Is there one that hasn't been picked yet?
Other.
Other. Okay. Well, I'm actively waiting to see what effect it has on everybody else before I'd even pick anyway. So I was definitely going to go last. So I will take the other to see what happens.
All right. A scroll. Part like a rather old-looking scroll pops up with it. It says, there's a little card saying, a contract with the Parliament of Undead Felines.
Oh, God. Okay.
That's Do you fine. Open it up and read it?
I will take a look. My world actually fell to the dark gods from the other space. So this is probably something I'm not particularly happy about, but anything that gets me out of here, I will definitely use, because I'm just sick to death of this already. So let's just go. So yeah, I'll take a look at it and see what happens.
All right. It is a contract. You have to sign it in order for it to take effect. Okay. But it enters into agreement with you and a parliament of undead felines in exchange for helping settle parliamentary disputes in the between the felines. You will gain their services, as they can help you in any number of ways. You basically gain a horde of undead cats that will do your bidding. As long as you put up with their endless arguments over Robert's Rules of Order.
Okay.
That is just so awesome.
That is a complicated superpower.
Okay, furballs everywhere. This is going to be great. Okay, fantastic. Yes, so I'll sign it. I'll borrow someone. Give me a pen. Come on, give me a pen.
All right, so let's see here. You sign it. So a horde of undead cats immediately appears, many of them wearing top hats or monocles.
hello there, Mr. Bigglesworth. I'm the chairman of the board of the parliament. We're very pleased to do business with you. We have many issues to discuss, such as the appropriate length of scratching post as per the regulatory's committee has said 17 inches tall, and it's just not balderdash. Anyways, there are many issues to discuss, but obviously you've been in a pickle, I can see. Is there anything we can do to get some goodwill, to get the, to get this you out of this well, whatever this is.
There is an undead horde of talking cats that has surrounded Abby and is looking around.
Don't see that every day. That's new.
Yeah. they are minions. Advanced. They arrive instantly. They have different skills. They're also undead, and you can use them for variable effects once per scene. You can use them to do one thing per scene. So you get like every scene, you have them do one different thing, but you can't have them do two different things per scene. So you can have them attack people. Basically be the equivalent of shooting as they run over and maul that guy or whatever, or they could transport you, they could pick you up and carry you somewhere, but you can't have them pick you up and carry somewhere and go shoot a guy, and go attack a guy in the same scene.
And a scene is the equivalent of a round, effectively, yeah?
A scene is basically one fight or one action.
Okay.
So, like, this is one scene right now, but as soon as you try the test or you get out of the test would be another scene, and then dealing with Raptor would be another scene. So you all have your powers, except for Abby. They are all untrained, so they would be done at +0. You can spend fate points to boost those, because again they're new powers, so you want to keep that in mind. Basically, the more awesome the power is, the longer it takes you to train it up. Ben, that's more of a campaign issue. Edgecutter is very impressed by what you see. He says, I've been reading up a little while you guys got your you got loaded up. It's apparently a simulator to see how you'd handle as a henchman. That's supposed to be like a simulated bank. And you put on these goggles, and it's like an augmented reality thing. You see little virtual people, and they'll react to you. But you're supposed to rob the virtual bank and hold off the police, and there's like different tests in it. I'm not sure exactly what happens, but you have to prove that you're, you know, bad enough dudes to be the Dark Mask's henchman before he'll let you out of this place. And no big deal, but there seems to be like, if you fail the test, deadly neurotoxins are released. I think that's a fib. I think that's just a motivational thing. I'm like at least 50% sure deadly neurotoxins. I mean, it's been a year. They're probably inert anyway. There's probably, I mean, those things don't keep, you know, they has to, anyways, just don't fail.
And of course, you're going to sit here the whole time and monitor because, we're going to need somebody like that to go through this, right?
Yeah. No, I'll be here. Here, the goggles have a little headset, ear set thing, so you can talk to each other. It's very cool, you know, like in the movies or, you know.
I'm thinking we should take you inside with us.
And, we're going to need a hostage anyway.
Yeah, we're going
to
need hostages.
They're all virtual. They're all virtual. And, like, I need to be the one administering the test. I have to push the button to start it. It's over here at the platform. Like, you know, I can't be in two places at once.
I'm going to be a savage Hulk or more of a brainy genius in a Hulk's body. What do you guys think?
Depends. Is the Academy Award on the line for this? Or are we just trying to survive here, dude?
Will Never our hero have Hulk. A choice? Of how intelligent he will be. Will his mind be eroded?
I'm recording. So far, you do gain a new conviction, actually. Might makes right. You do feel a little more brash and like, screw it, let's go. Woo!
Okay, so. And I will go with that and hop over to the bank simulator, right. And hopefully the other will follow my charismatic lead and we can start killing civilians and.
Leading by example. All right. Yes. Killing civilians. All right. So you put on the goggles.
Civilians.
Yeah. You each put on the goggles, and like the bare metal walls take on the augmented reality aspect. Actually, worked really well. It looks like a normal bank as you step in there. Actually, there's daylight and everything. It's a very holodeck kind of experience. Although the walls are quite real, and the people are actually quite real. Apparently, when you take the goggles off, you see there are these little fake robot drone things that just look like, you know, walking broom handles, but they're kind of, when you put the goggles on, they actually look like they're people. So it's like a holodeck, but not. So it gives you your first four tasks. The hostages have to be contained. Someone has to set up the drill to drill into the vault. Someone has to take down all the guards. And then someone has to delay the police. So there are four tasks. Each of you can do one, or you can all help on each other. The setting up the drill is a technical one that will require technology or computers or some other similar skill. Or if you have a weapon, you could be like, screw the drill. We can just shoot through the vault with my awesome plasma cannon or punch it with my mighty fists. But that will take more. That might take more time. So you wouldn't be able to do anything else if you don't set up the drill. So who wants to do what?
Well, I have computers at +3, so I will set up the drill.
Okay, so you have a big duffel bag that has a drill in it. So you'll have to go to the vault and do that. So what is your plan? First off, as the simulation starts, it's just a bank at a normal day. The people are milling about. The clerks are there. There's security guards standing by. It looks all very normal. So how are you going to take over the bank?
Are we coming in the front door?
That's up to you. There's a front door. There is a side door. There's a locked side door that is usually for employees only, where they move in supplies and stuff like that. So the front door is open, though. There's also windows. You could just break through the windows. There's also a skylight. It's a one-story bank. It's not a very big bank, but you could probably climb on the side of the building up onto and jump through the skylight if you wanted to be really dramatic. Or you could just walk through the front door, or you go through, or if you can get through the side door, you could do that. That would require a burglary check to pick the lock on the side door. I know Abby has burglary,
I know the front door is unlocked, but I'm going to run through it so the glass kind of falls all around me looking dramatically, and I punch the first guard I see.
All right. So that will be your first test with the superhuman strength, which you have a +0. So just roll those dice. and this might require you to spend some fate points.
Ross, could you roll for me, please?
Oh, yeah. I will roll again. And you get a zero, so you will need to spend fate points, or you will not succeed. As you,
how many fate points can I spend?
You can spend as many as you want. You just can't activate the same aspect in the same roll. Or you can't activate. You can only activate each aspect once per roll. So you have multiple aspects. So let's see. You're the actor.
See, I can make it on my own. Maybe I think I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So let's spend one fate point to activate that aspect. And
all right, you're like this is. It's just like opening night of my first time in off Broadway. I don't know what I'm doing, but I have to fake it so I can make it. So you run through the window, you nearly trip, but you manage to catch yourself. And then the guard's like, "Are you? Oh God, you fell through that window. You look. Are you okay?" And then you're like, "I'm more than okay." And then you punch him, into a wall, knocking out. Yeah. So you almost looked like you needed help, but no, you're really a supervillain. So like people like figured that out. You look very scary. So you shocked everyone. They're the first guard's knocked out. There are two more guards somewhere in the bank. They're obviously going to be rushing towards you. But you, the rest of you guys, what are you doing this round? So let's see, Valerie. Or you could rush in and set up the drill if that's what you want to do. You're the one with the drill, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just going to fly in with my awesome rocket boots real fast and just go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the rocket boots, you get there almost instantly. And so go ahead and give me a computer check.
Okay. So I have a minus one, but then I have plus three to that. So I have a plus two.
All right.
Total.
All right. You manage. You set up the drill. It's a very advanced technology. Very user friendly, but you manage to start it up and enter and place it in the right place over the vault, so it will drill through it in a few minutes. So that's what you're doing. So we have, what is Jack doing this round?
Jack is going to walk in with the gun, trying to look as very menacing as I can, but I'd like to activate an aspect and walk up to the remainder of the guards and be like, "All right, guys, look, here's the deal. We're so robbing this bank, but you can come out of this really good because, if you guys claim stress, maybe you twisted an ankle, you could, you talk to the guard union, you might get some time off, maybe some workman's comp out of this. I have the manages city contractors aspect, and I'd like to activate that.
Okay.
I'm going to roll. I use my cool Ethan Fudge Dice app spot roll.
Yeah,
and I get a three.
I guess you're using deceit then as your primary skill.
Yes, and I have a plus two in that.
All right, so three plus two, five with a plus another plus two from your aspect. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So that's seven. So yeah, no. When the target number was a two, what I would say would be a three with that. It'd be a little difficult to convince your guards, but you beat it by four. Whenever you beat a roll by three or more, you get spin, which is basically the equivalent of a critical hit in Fate. So yeah, the guards not only agree to your terms, you can have them. You get one other advantage. You could have them get. They could tell you more information. They could. Help Brown tell the other people to stop resisting. You know, just do what the nice man with the gun says. Or they could even join you for a while. You know, like, oh yeah, he forced me to shoot at the cops. You know, or something like that. Yeah. So what advantage do you want from the guards?
Yeah, we're going to activate some Stockholm syndrome to identify the bag manager, make sure that he doesn't trip the alarm, and then we're going to. Have them tell all the nice bank people to lay down on the ground on their bellies with their hands
stretched
out. Okay,
they totally sell out the bank manager. They were forced to. Good job. So you taking control of it. The police are still going to come because you're doing this is a broad daylight bank robbery, and someone will notice this sooner or later. But you've certainly delayed it a little bit at least. Abby, what are you going to do?
Okay.
Because sooner or later, yeah. Because you also have to get out too with the money. So you have to get to the sewers. Anyway.
So there were two guards who were running towards me after I punched one guard, and the city manager.
Well, hold on. Let's get Abby right. with the her action this round. So we'll do. There's basically combat at this point. All right, cool. So let's. Cool. Abby.
Okay.
Or aid.
So yeah. There is. We have police that are due to arrive, but haven't arrived as of yet. Correct.
Right. They've been the police response will be delayed a little bit because the guards won't call it in. But somebody's going to notice sooner or later. I mean.
Okay. And so the last job is to distract the police.
Yes. Perfect. Well, slow them down because you have to not only drill open the bank, you have to get the money, you have to get it to the sewer, and then that's winning the test.
Okay.
So you could try and.
Sewer.
Yeah.
The direction of the bank, is that out the front of the bank, or is that a rear exit we'd need to go through?
It's closer to the side door, which is locked. So you could try and get that door open. You could spend the round, let's see here, with an alertness check to find a key to unlock the door. Or you could use the FUPA, the Feline Undead Parliamentary Association, to do something. Or, yeah.
Okay, as the door is the most important thing because we need the means of escape, I will go and do that. I will send off my cats. Because they are annoying the hell out of me already by crawling up my leg and ruining my lovely trousers, that they can go out, they can hang around out the front on the front end, and they are instructed to basically just the first police people that they see, basically just to jump up them and cause as much havoc as possible. That will be their task for this round or this scene.
Oh, so I will count that as intimidation. They will try to scare the police. So they start caterwauling, and the mummified cats start, creeping around and jumping, and will be causing quite a bit of mischief. So that will definitely slow down the police. So go ahead and give me a roll. This will again be a plus zero, but you can spend fate points. Or do you want me to roll for you?
I've got a roll. I can roll. I have a minus two, so not the greatest of rolls.
All right. Well, they're also easily distracted. And there are they start eating mice that are nearby, or rats. They start, it is New York. It is fake New York, so there's virtual rats. So they aren't going to be doing much. You can try again next round. But anyways, all right. So. You've got the bank secured. The cops haven't shown up yet. The vault is the drill is still drilling through the vault. So what is Super Roland going to do?
Well, just so I'm clear, like I was asking before, that I punched one guard and the two other guards were charmed by the office worker.
Yes.
Okay. What is there left for me to do then? I was all about beating up guys with guns, and now the guys with guns have decided.
Well, you, let's see here. You look around. You could, let's see here.
If I'm mistaken, all the basic tasks for the robbery have been filled, correct?
For the basic tasks, but now, then there will be a complication, and the complication will be getting the money to the sewers. So, the police, you can hear sirens in the distance. It's a busy city. Someone called certainly the undead cats, probably.
Okay.
I'm going to call. So let's see here. I don't want to give this away, but you could talk to Edgecutter this round. He could give you a clue.
I'll talk to Edgecutter and ask for some advice.
Okay. He says, well, it looks like you have to get, 6 bags of money to the sewers. But by the time you get the vault open, the cops are going to be there. They're going to be setting up barricades, and they'll have SWAT teams and snipers and all this other stuff. So maybe you could. You're super strong, right? You could go out back and grab cars and try and slow the cops from showing up by using cars to push all the cops back or something like that. You could clear a path to the sewers or.
Couldn't I just go into the bathroom, rip up the toilet, and start tunneling?
That you could. that would be a good way. So, yeah, you could start pounding through the. Go ahead and give me a roll on that.
Could you roll for me, please?
Oh, yeah, sir. You get a -2. And this is, I'm going to activate your untrained power aspect, which means you are stronger than you think. So you not only pound, through the bathroom, you activate, which, triggers just all kinds of things. One, the bathroom starts flooding, and for some reason triggers a fire alarm. And two, the bathroom falls in on you as you are buried in rubble. So you won't take any damage, but you will be. You have to spend the next round getting out. So you actually punch too hard, and you cause too much. There's too much debris for that to be an escape path. So you're still going to have to go to the surface to get to the specified sewer exit. Yeah. Too strong for your own good. So let's see. Who's next? Who wants to act next? So yeah, you're going to have to wait. The cops are, you can hear the sirens coming. We'll just go, I guess, Jack, what do you want to do next?
I'm going to, I'm going to try and get the guards to see if they can help free our intrepid actor.
Okay. With that, you can. I'm a guard, not a construction worker. I mean, well, you're going to have to talk to my union rep about that. So, how are you going to persuade them or lie to them to convince them to help?
I'm going to use deceit again, and I have that at a +2 yeah. to try and convince them. Excuse me. We can really sell this whole Stockholm syndrome thing if I aim the gun at you. And the only problem with this is I'm not really sure how this thing works. So if it accidentally goes off, I could blow off a foot or at least a toe. So I mean. Best to get out of the way of this thing just in case. And, you know, the sooner you get a big guy out of there, the sooner we'll be gone. And you can start talking to your rep and, you know, trying to make things happen. All right.
That's a good, yeah, no, that's a good lie. Go ahead and give me a deceit check.
-1.
Is that including your +2 bonus?
No, that's not. So it would be a 1.
All right. With 1, I would have said that was the difficulty was a 2. So you're not going to succeed. However, you still can spend fate points if you want.
Let's do that.
Otherwise, all right. You could activate Manage City Contractors again if you want.
Let's do that. Let's manage that contract.
All right. So you take use another fate point. With that, you push them over the edge. And they will start digging them out, so you'll get out earlier. So we have. Let's see here. What is Valerie doing this round? The drill's. Yeah, you can. The drill's working. You can see though that the police are going to be setting up snipers and stuff like that, so you're going to have to go through a gauntlet of police fire before you can escape. So that's going to be a problem coming up.
Can I see any of the snipers?
That will require an alertness check. They are not just putting big red flags on themselves for some weird reason.
That's not how it works in my games.
they're disguised. I mean, they're hiding. So that's alert. You can roll +1. And that's what your alertness is. So,
okay. So I have a +2 total.
All right. With a +2, you do see, you do see there are 3 snipers, that are set up, that will have line of sight on you. Whenever you make your run for it. So you can point those out to the other player characters, but that'll be your action.
What I was actually thinking about doing was flying up and grabbing one and dropping him off the building.
Okay. You can do that next round. It took you around. You had to look around a while in order to figure out where the snipers were. You see the red dots, but you don't see where they're coming from. So it takes you a little bit to do that. So next up we have Aid, with the Abby and the Fupa.
Okay. So while my cats are outside, I am going to try and get that door open.
Okay. That would be a burglary check.
Okay. So my burglary is +2.
All right.
My fate dice gives me a -1, so that is +1.
That's good enough. It's locked, but you know you have time. You're not being shot at yet, so you manage to unlock the door, so you can throw it open and make your run for it as whenever you want.
Mumbling under my breath, I can't believe I'm doing this again. Oh my god, I was sure I'd left this behind. Okay, right. So yeah, I'll swing the door open and see kind of what lies on the other side.
Okay, well, Valerie pointed out where the three police snipers are. As soon as you open the door, one of them will be able to take a shot at you. So you can do that. But I assume you're not standing in the middle of the doorway.
No,
Yeah. All right, so you're there. So a new round. Roland, with the two guards, you managed to get out. The police have arrived. Not just the snipers, but they have cars set up. You know, there's a guy with a bullhorn yelling at you to surrender. You know, you're surrounded, blah, 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 blah. You know, typical police stuff. Yeah. So you're wiping plaster and, you know, stuff off your face. What do you want to do?
Any ideas? Any suggestions?
Well, Edgecutter says, well, there's a photocopier in there. You could throw office equipment at the snipers.
I got nothing better. Yeah, sure. I'll throw the photocopier at the one of the snipers. Right. I can see.
Let's see here. You'll get a... Actually, normally that would be a zero, but I forgot to mention one other rule. They're power tiers. Super. There's five tiers from mundane, which is normal human, to godlike, which is godlike. Every tier... difference between on opposed skill checks gives a plus, normally a 1d6 or a plus 2 advantage depending on what rules you're using. Because your super strength is at superhuman level, it goes mundane, extraordinary, superhuman, ascendant, godlike. You actually get a success even though you rolled a zero because it was a mundane, you know, to throw an object is not that hard. So you throw a photocopier at one of the three snipers who is on the roof of a building. He screams and takes cover. You're not sure if it hit him or not, but he is probably not going to peek out his head for a little bit. So you knock one of them out, or, you know, one of them will, there's only two left that will be shooting at you. In fact, one of them will be shooting at you. And he gets a 6. However, you have superhuman damage resistance. So you have a 4. So this will be virtual damage because it's not a real thing. You know, it's a simulator. But he rolled a 6 on his roll. And even with your superhuman damage resistance, you get a 4. So you would take 2 stress normally. So that's how that works. It's a margin between the attacking roll and the defending roll. But because it's a training simulator, it's just marked on your little goggles. Ah, you've been shot. This will be counted against your final total for the test. So you duck back. So that was your action. All
right.
So who's next?
Can I fly up and grab one of the guys and drop him off?
Oh, yeah. You can do that. So you have a plus 3 on your rocket boots to get up there. So go ahead and make a roll.
Okay. I have a modified plus 0. Can I spend a fate point?
You could. You could use that to re-roll, which you probably want to do, because they're going to get a 5 to shoot you.
Okay, on my re-roll, I have a modified plus 3.
All right, so they wing you, which will be, again, so you're dodging as you're flying up, but the two snipers shoot at you, one of them wings you, which, again, this is marked off your total. So... it's virtual, but, you know, you want to pass, otherwise deadly neurotoxin. So you get up to one of the snipers, the other one on the roof. One of them's in the third story building at a roof, you know, and peeking through a window. You said you wanted to grab him and throw him off?
Yeah, or at least his gun. If I can grab his rifle and just throw it down, you know, to the ground.
Now, that would be an unarmed check. You do not have unarmed, it looks like. So you will be rolling at a plus 0. The cop has a plus 2. And he gets a 1 total. See, if you get a 2 or a better, you will grab the gun from him.
I got a plus 3, it looks like.
All right, with a plus 3, yes, you grab the gun. He is disarmed. You grab
take that, cop.
All right, you grab the rifle, and you have the nice 50 caliber sniper rifle in the hand. Of course, you're holding it by the barrel and you don't know how to shoot, but yay, hey, why not? It's so one sniper, only one sniper is left.
I'm just going to get in the face with the butt, just for fun.
Okay, just keep wailing on the guy. All right. Well, that could be your next action. The drill's almost done, by the way. Let's see here. Jack, what is Jack doing?
I'm going to go for the thrill seeker a bit and aim my plasma cannon out toward the street. And I see Chuck's character is having some fun with some snipers up top.
Yep, there's one left, one who's still active.
I'm going to level the plasma cannon and see what kind of havoc I can wreak with this thing.
All right.
Shooting plus two. I mean, shooting plus one, but I'm untrained because of the...
Yes. Yeah, because it's a plasma cannon.
Yeah, because, that happens. And, I'm going to go for it. So I'm going to hit the Ethan's fudge dice. I get a one, adding to my plus one for shooting, but whatever the untrained gets me.
That's an aspect that I can compel. I'm not going to compel it the first time you shoot. It's not as funny the first time. Wait till you could trust it. So it works this time, and because it is at a higher tier than the cop's defense, which is mundane, it will do additional damage. And so the virtual cop is vaporized by the plasma cannon, blowing a big hole through the concrete cover, so you've destroyed all three cops, or taken out all three cops. At this point, the vault is open. So you can start. There's six bags of money. But there are scattered cops, behind their cop cars, shooting their handguns at you so you have to get the six bags past the gauntlet. The snipers are gone, but there's still some sporadic resistance. Mike, your character is strong enough to just grab all the bags and run. So you could do that this round.
All right. I grab all the bags. I run out the front door and, using my acting powers, I guess this will be using either art or presence. I'm going to be running and screaming as loudly as I can. These are all tainted with anthrax.
Presence will work. It's a very dramatic Denzel Washington kind of thing. Like, these are tainted with anthrax. All right, so you have presence at plus three, I believe.
Presence at plus three, yeah.
So you get a plus three. The cops suddenly stop shooting. Oh, it's got anthrax. Stay back. They dare not shoot the bags. So you don't have to worry about damage. So he's providing temporary cover. So anyone else can make an athletics check to keep up with him as he's bounding to safety. Rocket boots can automatically do that since you're so fast. Valerie's so fast. Let's see here. But Jack, you will need to make an athletics check if you want to keep up.
I don't have athletics, so.
You don't.
I do have endurance, though.
No, you do have athletics. I'm looking at Abby's sheet. Sorry. I thought I gave him athletics. You can always still roll at a plus zero. So.
Okay, let's do that.
All right.
Rolling now, and I get a zero.
All right. So you need a plus one. Otherwise, you will take damage as you are going to buy a cop.
Can I activate a...
sure can.
I'm going to activate my secret thrill junkie.
All right, you're being shot at by the police. This is awesome! Who cares if they're virtual police? So you hide as you're running the gauntlet, taking cover behind the anthrax bags.
I scream out at the top of my lungs to Mike's character, "How do I do a slow-mo?"
Nice.
Sound effects.
So Valerie can easily get to safety, which I assume she does. Chuck?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And finally, Aid, what is Abby going to do to get to the gauntlet? Is she going to be running?
Okay, my cats, can I distract the police as well?
Yes, they can try and scare the cops away.
Yeah, now that they've kind of decided to run away from the anthrax, I'll set the cats on them just to make doubly sure they...
Okay, sure.
And then as I'm running along, just get them, sick them. As I run up behind the bounding Hulk we have in front of us.
All right, go ahead and give me a roll.
Okay, so...
The ruggedly handsome...
Yeah, of course. Oh, four zeros in total. So
I actually forgot that the FUPA is at a higher power tier than the they're at superhuman power tier, and so normally that would be a zero, but because their intimidation ability is at superhuman tier and the cop's willpower is at mundane tier, it's equal to a plus four on the side of the FUPA. So they're actually really scary undead cats.
So the cops are actually terrified of the horde of undead cats running interference between you. So they back off. So yeah, I forgot to take that into account because higher power tier skills are really cool, really useful. So how do the cat do the cats do anything in particular to scare the cops off?
I think, to be honest, just kind of patrolling around the outside of them, generally clawing, little bit of coughing, furballs, you know, the odd that kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, of course. Kind of like cats, but undead. But, so,
exactly. You know. I mean, can you imagine an undead cat hacking up a furball in front of you? Yeah, that's no present.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just unnerving. But the cops can't look away. You all get to the sewer with the bags of money. The simulation stops. There is a tally of your final score. The wounds are the only thing you got. Getting shot was the only penalty. You get a B. So you pass. You're officially welcomed as Dark Mask Sinchman. A robotic drone hands you each a key card. And there is a little bit of confetti that he throws in front of you. Now get to work. Of course, Dark Mask has been missing for a year, so these robots are basically on autopilot. You can use the key card to open up the door and look into the rest of the base. Edgecutter runs up to you guys. Like, oh, great. Thanks, guys. If you just want to leave... he shows you the schematic of the base. It's actually a pretty small base. There's an exit up into the near Central Park that'll tell you. You just climb the ladder, you'll be near Central Park, about a block away from it, and you just go on your life. I mean, that's fine. But if you want, Raptor's still somewhere around here. If you take him out, we could lose this base. We could get a lot of money, and of course you'd be criminals, you know, because base raiding is totally illegal. But I mean, you already have superpowers. That's illegal too. So you're already technically criminals. So you know, hey, it's up to you guys. I normally have friends that are much scarier than you, but they're not here. So this would teach me for trying to raid a base on my own.
Well, I would probably be up for doing more of the base raiding, but I have to cut this session short.
All right. So we'll leave there. So you guys take the exit out, or fight off Steve. We'll leave that to be continued next time. And the next issue. So do you guys like it? Did the system make sense and everything?
There should totally be a next issue.
We can do that. So I'm sorry. Mike, did you have any other final words?
I was just going to say I had a lot of fun. I kind of basically get the setting. Get the rules. I really enjoyed the setting. The little tweaks and details that were not things you see in your generic, you know, VIN filed off superhero setting in RPG. I mean, the Parliament of Undead Cats.
Yeah.
That was just
unique. Yeah.
Some of the other touches, the android handing us key cards and throwing confetti, like we're in sort of Venture Brothers. That was nice.
Yeah, a lot of people have compared it to the Venture Brothers. I've had like actual play episodes where like there's actually rules for collaborative base design where players come up with rumors for the base and then you roll to see if they're true or not. And so the first thing the player said, I think this base we're trying to find was once owned by David Bowie. And so like, oh, it turns out it was owned by David Bowie. And so he was really into alchemy for some reason. It is kind of Venture Brothers like in some ways. That is a kind of an influence. Fupa came from my friend Caleb of No Security, who from Heaven on Games, who did that. He made that as a monster for Monsters and Other Childish Things, and I liked it so much. Like, I'm putting this in Base Raiders. But it's actually one of the official powers of Base Raiders is Fupa. So yeah,
excellent. Anyway. So Chuck, you have any thoughts?
I really enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. So really, you guys good. Be up for a next session? Maybe either later. I probably have to be in December or January at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, this next Thanksgiving is going to be a little chaotic.
Yeah, definitely. Chuck, could you be up for part two?
Sure.
Yeah, we can pick up and fight Steve, that jerk. So, cool.
Sounds good. All right, well, hey, once again, thanks everyone for tuning in to the BAMF Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and we'll catch you next time. So, all right, cool. Thanks, everybody. That was a good time.
That was pretty cool.
And it's on the bundle of holding Fate Plus 2 thing right now. So if you want to get the PDF at a good price, along with a bunch of other really cool games, it's there. So
And if you want to get the print book, order from baseraiders.com, because then you can get the print and the PDF the same thing. I don't have it on, I don't have the print thing on drive-through because I use CreateSpace to do the print version, because that was what I was more familiar with in terms of the print formatting thing.
Drive-through print on demand can be a little tricky the first few.
Yeah. I'd already done CreateSpace on other projects, so I was already familiar with that.
All right.
So, yeah. Anyway.
All right, sounds good. Well, hey, I just send me the MP3 or WAV file, whatever I can.
Yeah, I'll upload it to Google Drive and send you the link.
Awesome, sounds good. All right, well, hey, I'll talk to you guys later then.
Thanks very much.
Guys.
All right, take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.